Thank you, and Kitty is with us. Well, Kitty is the kaiwhakahaere of Tōpūtanga, Tāpui, Kaitiaki o Aotearoa. She's been a guest many times, and her viewpoint's always welcome. The country's largest health workforce union, the Nurses Organisation, they are criticising, as many have, this year's budget for failing to meet pressing health needs and creating worsening inequities for our people. Thanks for your time again, Kitty. Te la koe.
Oh, morena.
A money-go-round is your description of the budget. What are the most immediate impacts this is going to have on frontline nursing staff and patient care, please, Kitty?
Well, it doesn't address a problem that we've got around the under-resourcing and understaffing. It does nothing towards consciously deciding and recruiting to and resourcing a workforce. So we're still going to get these services that are understaffed. And of course, we've got bigger gaps happening because the inequities gaps hasn't even been addressed, and so it will continue to grow and grow. So, yeah, absolutely not a great budget.
Not unexpected, though. It's like our people's health needs somewhat collateral damage as economic growth is the overarching imperative. With Māori funding effectively reduced, how do you expect the budget to affect already inequitable health outcomes for Māori communities? It's going to get worse before it gets better? Is that the feeling we have, or is that the reality we're facing?
Well, that's even if it's going to get better. You know, it's just going to get worse and worse because there's no attention paid to resourcing Māori services. We've already been under 2% of the total vote health budget. Right? And we're expected to reduce inequities, deliver services to our communities, which we know are high in terms of support. There's higher impact or acuity of poor health outcomes. So we know that we've only got 2% of that total health budget. Now what they've done is scrapped a significant contribution towards reducing inequities, and that's in the immunisation of tamariki. So consciously scrapping initiatives that have been working is eroding whatever the small health funding that we already had. So I don't see where there's going to be a silver lining, especially if we get a coalition government hell-bent on reducing services based on needs. They'll never see the need for supporting Māori to achieve well-being. So, it's just looking worse and worse with no silver lining in sight.
Of course, we represent Māori in the nursing workforce, but also non-Māori, and the numbers the union represents up around 30,000. So this is really significant. Part of the issue, of course, and why we're not getting as many of our people lining up to get their nursing degrees is because of the sluggish attitude, in fact, the really patronising attitude towards pay discussions, and we've witnessed this across the years talking with you. I know there's a claim in the tribunal at the moment regarding the principals, bills and the like before the Waitangi Tribunal regarding the government's lack of acting in good faith, as is a requirement under the treaty. How would you describe this? And acting in good faith would mean there would be traction that we would be able to get if, in fact, both parties were acting in good faith. Have we lost Kitty? No, she's back here. I don't quite know how these things drop out, but Kitty's back. Yeah, I was just talking about good faith and the lack of in discussions with the nursing kaupapa, Kitty.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. 30,000 plus nurses are the ones that work within the hospital settings. We have equally that amount out there in the primary healthcare community. So overall, our organisation represents about 60,000 of hauora, you know, of healthcare workers throughout the whole country. So, and they are angry, especially when Brooke Van Velden chose to insert or reshuffle the funding, and we lost all our pay equity claims. Now, part of those claims we're building towards how do we reset what is currently the inequities and disparities of pay within Māori and iwi provider spaces. So this, that her actions completely annihilated the opportunity to get better acknowledgement and pay equity in that sector. So we've got, now we've got a workforce that is largely doing what they can do with very small resources, and a lot of the work that they are doing is invisibilised anyway. And I guess that's a snob or a you know, sign of bad faith from the government not acknowledging actually the contributions that nurses pay to the workforce. But you know, that issue of good faith I think has been stretched to the maximum, and nurses now are just fed up because it does not seem to have been good faith from the side of the Te Whatu Ora. Remembering that some of our nurses were due to annual leave entitlements to be repaid because under the government had made a botch up in the annual leave paybacks. So many of our nurses are expecting thousands of dollars that this government has not released to them. So good faith has been stretched to the maximum, and I don't think many nurses have confidence that the government understands what good faith is.
Tēnā koe, Kiri Nuku with us from the Nurses Organisation. Kiri, I was listening to a kōrero the other day that the Filipino population has just eclipsed 100,000 in our country now. Many of them do work in care facilities, and I'm assuming as well on hospital wards. Not a criticism, but I'm looking for an observation, because many of our people are conscious of treaty issues and our rights and our land. And also the history of unionism in our industrial relations history. Just wondering your thoughts on new migrants who come into the frame, make their way onto hospital wards, and they're welcome because we need them, but whether they have an understanding of unionism or treaty issues, or whether they should. Any thoughts there, Kitty?
I think that's a really good question, absolutely good question, because we have seen our workforce is over 50% of internationally qualified nurses, of which many come from the Philippines or India, actually. So, and this changes the way that we deliver care, or the model of care, because there is undoubtedly often language or verbal or non-verbal differences in the way that the nurses engage with people to the public. But the issue that we face here is that, you know, while there is an expectation that they've understood or they've met competencies by understanding about Te Tiriti of Waitangi, there is a difference when you live in Aotearoa and you grow up under that, as opposed to somebody that comes in and tries to learn it for the purposes of passing the paper and then go out into the workforce and try and understand what engaging with or responding and working alongside Māori actually looks like. So there is no doubt that they come from a different training and background, where the freedoms that we have here, the ability to speak up, the ability to challenge other health professionals, is not so common over there because they have quite hierarchical structures. So it does create challenges, challenges in our responsibility as nurses is to advocate for patients, and that will often mean having the conversations with doctors around the preferred care. If a nurse is unwilling to do that or has grown up under a structure that doesn't allow that, then that creates some challenges around advocacy on behalf of your patients, as opposed to be caught up in some political or inherently structural stuff that means it's impossible for you to challenge. So there is no doubt that there are some definitely some differences in the way that internationally qualified nurses, some of them, work within the sector, just because of where they've come from and what they're used to in their own countries.
Well, we know there are many significant challenges. As we speak, like this week, Kitty, what are you going into bat for? What's the priority from your position as a tino kai tautoko for our nursing organisation and staff?
Well, what we're going into bat for is there's a review of the Health Practitioners Competency Assurance Act, and what we've said is that the more that we get ministers interfering in the regulation of nursing, which they have done and continue to do, and we've seen a paper that came out from the minister around, basically it's around deregulating the role of the nurse. And why this is significant is all of a sudden we start to see that the austerity measures that the government are putting in place are starting to consciously redesign the regulations or the scope of what a nurse can do. And then that will mean that you could look at it that, oh, you know, the registered nurses are too expensive to pay, therefore we'll assign some of their works to an unregulated workforce, increase the unregulated workforce, and then what we've got is a set of people that are not necessarily skilled within their scopes to be able to provide the services. And those are all the impact of austerity measures. We've seen the increasing use of artificial intelligence, more use of the 0800 lines, and how are they going to impact the nursing profession, but also how do they impact on the community, because more and more you're getting away from the ability to touch a health professional, to be able to touch and to use all their senses to assess the care that's required. And for whānau, that you haven't got somebody that you can talk to, you can share some of those intimate issues with, you've got maybe a robot or somebody over the other end of the line. So these measures or these strategies that they're putting in place will also contribute to the deregulation of nursing. So at the moment, we're fighting for the profession to remain professional, to be resourced and acknowledged the way that it has, to acknowledge the technical and scientific skills and mātauranga that's required to be a nurse. So we're competing against the government that doesn't necessarily understand or support nursing around the profession and the future of nursing.
As always, appreciate your thoughts and time. Thanks so much for sharing company with our peeps this morning once again. Kelly Nuku from the Nurses Organisation. Ngā mihi, Kelly, thanks so much.